Today's scripture reading is taken from Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verses 1 to 13. A good name is better than precious ointments, and the day of death than the day of birth. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For this is the end of all mankind, and the living will lay it to heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by sadness of face the heart is made glad. The heart of the wise is in a house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in a house of mirth. It is better for a man to hear the rebuke of the wise than to hear the song of fools. For as the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of the fools. This also is vanity. Surely oppression drives the wise into madness, and a bribe corrupts the heart. Better is the end of a thing than its beginning, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Be not quick in your spirit to become angry, for anger lodges in the heart of fools. Say not, why were the former days better than these? For it is not from wisdom that you ask this. Wisdom is good with an inheritance, an advantage to those who see the sun. For the protection of wisdom is like the protection of money, and the advantage of knowledge is that wisdom preserves the life of him who has it. Consider the work of God. Who can make straight what he has made crooked? This is the word of God.
Good morning. My name is Danny, an elder in this church. It is a privilege to bring God's word to you. Some of you are concerned about me standing up here. I am good. It's okay. Thank you very much. Come, let us pray before we begin. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And we pray this morning that your spirit will make your word simple for us to understand and to respond in ways that honor our Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The title of today's message is simple: The ABC of Life. Why ABC? Let me explain. In December 1985, I attended a church camp in Penang. This was organized by our mother church before AMKPC was established. The camp speaker was Mr. Anthony Yeo, widely regarded as Singapore's father of counseling. From him, I learned the ABC model of behavioral therapy to reshape negative thinking or feelings into more positive ways. A stands for activating event, something that happened. B is the belief, your inner thinking, your thinking about yourself, of others, and of life in general. And C is the consequence, your response, your emotion, your action to what has happened, that is A. Let me give you an example. A colleague walks into the office. You look up, smile, and says, "Hello." He turns to you, give you a blank look, and walk on without a greeting or a smile. If B, your belief is, he must be angry with me. But about what? I don't know, but he must be angry with me. Then C, the consequence is that your response could be, I'm a little bit also upset with him, and you feel negative towards him. But the response, the C, can be very different if your B, if your belief is such that, I think he's worried about the meeting with the boss later, or last night he must have a terrible time with the family. then your C, your consequence, your response to him is, no problem. I'll catch up with him later, see if I can be of help. Over the years, I have often paused and reflected on my belief, my inner thinking. When I'm feeling down, irritated, frustrated, or had responded in a certain way. And from experience and observing others, I realize that there are distorted and irrational beliefs that brings unnecessary pain and stress to your life. Here are some of them. I must be perfect. Mistakes means failure. I must please others so that they will like me. I will never be good enough. Why try so hard? Or do not trust others, they will take advantage of you. It is their fault, it's not mine. Life is so unfair to me. I can never change, it is in my genes. What are your beliefs? Are you even aware of them? You know, we've been looking at the book of Ecclesiastes, and we will face many things in life. We will face A, activating events that you have no control. But the C, your response, will determine very much on your B. What is your belief and what is your inner thinking? This morning from chapter 7, verses 1 to 13, we are going to look at six beliefs. Six beliefs to adopt and hold in life so that we can make the best of situation, however unpleasant it may be, and to live well. This passage is presented in Proverbs, a series of Proverbs, contrasting two views with the word better. Let's look at the first belief. Verse 1. A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of birth. And I rephrase this verse into an actionable belief that we can hold, and that is, I will be a positive impact on others. I will be a positive impact on others. In this verse, a good name does not refer to a nice sounding name, but a good reputation, how others view and remember you. Is there a difference between having a good reputation and being famous? Yes, you can be famous, a famous athlete, a famous actor, but not necessarily with a good reputation. A good reputation comes from living well with yourself and with those around you, especially the people around you. So these proverbs highlight that a good reputation, a good name is better, is to be treasured than precious ointment, a symbol of favor, of joy, of prosperity. Last month, I saw on Se-Tiong's Facebook, he was awarded a certificate as an outstanding NS commander. This is not a standard certificate given to every officer, no, but only to the few rare ones. And let me read what the certificate says. Se-Tiong is well known to be a no-nonsense type of NS commander. And yet, he is well-respected and well-liked by his men. His charismatic leadership and excellent interpersonal skills are evident during in-camp training. His distinguished dedication and commitment to NS are commendable. NS is never easy, having to manage all sorts of people. But for Se-Tiong, he chooses to do so, even though he's no longer under any obligation. He just passed his early, he's in his early 50s. And even as he volunteered to serve in NS, he's making a positive impact on his fellow officers and the men under him. This certificate affirms his good reputation, better than precious ointment. So to Se Tiong, I say thank you. Thank you for being a blessing to those under you in NS and to us here in AMK PC as well. How about you? How about you? When things are difficult and problems abound, instead of running away and being another critic, adding salt to wound, would you consider and ask, am I able to help? Will I choose to dirty my hand and help others see through the difficulties? A person's true character is revealed under stress. That is when reputation builds. So tell yourself, I will be a positive impact on others. Next, verse 2. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting, for this is the end of all mankind, and the living will lay it to heart. And the believers, I will live with God in the equation. I will live with God in mind. I have a grandfather's clock at home. It chimes once at the half hour and the number of times according to the hours. So if it's 6 o'clock, it will chime 6 times and so on. Being a mechanical clock without a battery, I have to wind it every week. And then after a while, the timing goes a little bit off, a bit too fast or a little bit too slow, and I will have to adjust the pendulum swing and set it on time again. It's a little bit troublesome, but I like the sound of it. Likewise, attending a funeral helps us to calibrate and realign our lives. Funeral reminds us of the fragility of life, to pause and reflect on the important things, the priorities, because we will die and we will meet God. This Gospel of Mark chapter 12 records this event while Jesus was at the temple. There he saw a poor widow putting in 2 small copper coins. Have you ever wondered why this poor widow put so little, 2 copper coins? Or all that she had into the offering box? I don't think she did it as an exchange, a barter trade between she and God. That is, God, I'm giving you my money. In return, bless me, make me successful. Sadly, such thinking, such attitude exists among Christians today. But for her, I believe that when she did it, she must be saying in her heart, God, you are my anchor, you are my priority, you are my life. Here, this is what you have given to me, I give back to you for your kingdom and to share with your people. In your life, does your words, your thinking, your action reflect and correspond to Jesus being your anchor, your priority, your life? How are you using the gift, the skill, the intellect, the resources, the money that God has given you? By all means, use them to enjoy. Yes, use them to enjoy. Use them to bless, to share with others. But whatever you do, keep God in the equation. Keep God in your life. Next, verse 3 and 4. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by sadness of face the heart is made glad. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. And the belief I present to you is, I will grieve, but stand again with God's help. I will grieve, but stand again with God's help. Of Jesus' 12 disciples, who ranks, you know, the leader? Likely Peter. Who would rank the lowest? Probably Judas. There was a time at the Last Supper when Jesus told them that one of his disciples will betray him. And Peter declared, I will never fall away. Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you. But Peter denied Jesus 3 times and then went off and wept bitterly. But the Bible tells us that subsequently Peter found healing in Christ and became a leader in the church. How about Judas? Judas betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, and when he realized his mistake, he wallowed in his sorrow, remained in his guilt, and committed suicide. Both Peter and Judas experienced great sorrow, deep pain for betraying Jesus. But their outcomes were very different. And I believe that the belief inside them, their inner thinking, set them on different paths. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10 tells us that godly grief is a deep sorrow that looks beyond ourselves. It looks to God, resulting in a change of heart, a change of mind, a change in behavior. Our God is a God of second chance. In contrast, worldly grief is sorrow that does not progress beyond remorse, stuck in despair with overwhelming guilt and hopelessness, and the result is darkness and death. There will be events in life that bring us great pain and sorrow. Take time to cry, take time to grieve. But remember that God is still there, albeit for a while, hidden by our sadness, hidden by our tears. Tell yourself, I will grieve for a period, but I will stand again with God's help. Next, verses 5 and 6. It is better for a man to hear the rebuke of the wise than to hear the song of fools. For as the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of the fools. This also is vanity. And the belief is, I will learn from my mistake and not repeat it. I will learn from my mistake and not repeat it. Even spiritual giants fall and make mistakes. And I'll tell you an incident in Apostles Peter's life. This happened after the ascension of Jesus to heaven, and now Peter is one of the leaders in the church. Galatians chapter 2 tells us that there was a day that Peter went to visit Paul in the city of Antioch. Antioch is a city with many Gentiles, non-Jewish Christians. When Peter first arrived there, he ate and fellowship with the Gentile Christians. But when certain Jews came from Jerusalem, Peter withdrew in fear because he was afraid of what the other Jews would say about him. Because according to Jewish law, a Jew is not to eat with Gentiles. It is unclean. But in Christ there is neither Jews nor Gentiles, female or male, free or slave. In Christ, all are one. All of us are one in Christ. So Paul had to confront Peter and correct his wrongdoing. And he did it in the presence of others so that they too will not repeat Peter's mistake. It must be terrible for Peter. It is never nice to be corrected for our mistakes, for our wrongdoing. It hurts terribly, made even worse when it is done in the presence of others or by someone junior to us. But if we think from the perspective of the one that corrected us, he could have struggled over it, but decided to do so out of concern, out of love for us, however unpleasant it may be. So the next time when you are corrected for your mistake, go through whatever emotion you need, anger, frustration, embarrassment, shame, whatever. Then tell yourself, he cares enough to confront and correct my mistake. It is for my good and for those around me. And tell yourself, I will learn from my mistake and not repeat it. Verse 8. Better is the end of a thing than its beginning, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. And the belief is, I will stay true to my goal and press on. I will stay true to my goal and press on. Let me tell you two of Apostles Paul's companion in his ministry. One is John Mark and the other is Demas. John Mark joined Paul and Barnabas in one of their missionary trips, but halfway he fell out and returned to Jerusalem, his home. We do not know why he dropped out, but we know that Paul was very unhappy with him because in a subsequent trip, Paul refused to bring John Mark along, although Barnabas wanted to have John Mark. So Paul and Barnabas had a quarrel, and in the end, Paul took Silas, went one way, Barnabas took John Mark and went another way. Let me switch over to Demas. Who is he? In Paul's letter to the Colossians, Demas was mentioned among those who labored with Paul. But sadly, in Paul's later letter to Timothy a few years down the road, he updated that Demas had deserted him. Maybe Demas could not take the hardship, or Demas, in a sense, gave in to the temptation of a more comfortable and prosperous life in Thessaloniki. We cannot be sure. What we are certain is that Demas did not finish what he started. In that same letter, just a verse down, Paul said of Mark, he said, get Mark, that is John Mark, and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry. Paul affirmed John Mark's work for Christ in his later year. John Mark was given a second chance by Barnabas, and he took it. He picked up from where he had dropped off and pressed on. The Gospel of Mark that we have in the New Testament today, the Gospel of Mark, traditionally is understood to be written by John Mark. What an accomplishment for Christ. We may trip and fall, give up and drop out from some things in life. But for the important things in life, your relationship with God, your ministry for God, your marriage, your family, tell yourself, I will stay true to my goal. I will stay true. And even should I trip and fall, I will pick myself up and press on. The end of the matter is better than its beginning. Next, verse 10. Say not, why were the former days better than this? For it is not from wisdom that you ask this. And the belief is, I will cherish today and make good memories. I will cherish today and make good memories. I enjoy the cartoon movie Kung Fu Panda. Watch it a few times. Paul the giant panda had been chosen as the dragon warrior. In one of his conversations with his master, Mr. Wu Kui, he was told, yesterday is history, tomorrow is a mystery, but today is a gift. That is why it is called the present. Yes, yesterday is in our memories, and we do not know what tomorrow will bring. But today is a gift from God to live for another day. And it is also called the present because it is both a gift and now. So how you live today will determine whether it will bring a smile to you tomorrow or a sense of sadness. My younger friends are often intrigued by this typewriter in my house. Those of us who use the typewriter will remember this sentence, the quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog. This sentence has all the alphabets, and we will practice typing this so that we will cover all the alphabets. The days, the era of the typewriter has a slower pace of life, carefree and more relaxing. Many of us sometimes yearn for those days. But we forgot that with the typewriter, if I type and I missed out a word, and I only discover it when I finish typing the whole page, correction means retyping the whole page and see that the missing word is inside there. But today, you find that you miss out the word keyboard, insert it in, print out, done deal. Every generation is different. The pace of life today is fast and furious. But it is with technology like video streaming that allows us to have online service for the last 2 years. So instead of lamenting over the good old yesteryears, we should seize the opportunity of today, the present, a present to us, and make the best of it. Tell yourself, I will cherish today and make good memories for tomorrow. Thus far, I have listed out 6 beliefs, 6 inner thinking to adopt from this passage. 1, I will be a positive impact on others. 2, I will live with God in the equation. 3, I will grieve, but stand again with God's help. 4, I will learn from my mistake and not repeat it. 5, I will stay true to my goal and press on. And I will cherish today and make good memories. Now let me use the remaining 3 verses 11 to 13 to frame this 6 belief with the idea of wisdom. Verse 11 says, wisdom is good with an inheritance, an advantage to those who see the sun. For the protection of wisdom is like the protection of money. And the advantage of knowledge is that wisdom preserves the life of him who has it. Consider the work of God. Who can make straight what he has made crooked? We are unable to straighten what God has made crooked. Neither do we know what will happen next. But a wise man is blessed. for his wisdom will preserve and help him maneuver through life. Have you ever wondered what is the difference between wisdom and knowledge? Knowledge is accumulating of facts, information. Wisdom is using knowledge to help you make sound judgment, draw perspective and options. Now, how about wisdom and intelligence? You are likely to find the intelligent doing well in school, having one or more degrees, and holding professional titles. But a wise person may not necessarily have gone to university or know a lot of things. But his decisions, his actions are guided by additional factors, factors such as human relationship, emotion, the culture, the surrounding, so that the way he conducts his life serves him well and benefit those under his influence. I believe that many of us are familiar with this verse from James, where it says that if any of you lacks wisdom, ask from God. And we commonly often pray this for someone else. But James also tells us in chapter 3, verse 17, what wisdom, the wisdom from above, from God, what is it like? The wisdom from above that is given to a person help him to live a life that is pure. It is not that the wisdom is just pure. The wisdom helped him to live a life that is pure, that is holy. He is peaceable. He is gentle. Or she is open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. This list is very similar to a person who bears the fruit of the Spirit. So when we talk about wisdom from above coming to a person, it is exhibited in the lifestyle. A wise person is more than just a knowledgeable or an intelligent person. He takes the knowledge that God has given him in a situation, consider others, consider the environment, and then decide that which may not be the most optimal or the most efficient, but will benefit and sits well with those around him. You heard me. The decision may not be the most optimal, but it will benefit others and not just himself. The ABC of life is such that we will have no control over A, the events that happen around us. But if we manage B, the belief and the inner thinking inside us well, then C, our response will fall in line. When we apply these six beliefs, our responses, our actions may not result in direct advantage or personal benefits. Instead, sometimes people will tell us, why are you so stupid? And they will advise us to do otherwise. Or society will promote us to behave otherwise. But these beliefs are wise words given by the wisest man on earth then. So a person that has the wisdom of God bears a life of holiness. He's peaceable, he listens to others, open to reason, merciful, treating others with dignity and honor. So may God help us to live well in this life, adopting good, sound belief within us and be a blessing to others. Come, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your words to us this morning. in the events that happened in life, we ask that you give us the wisdom to live in a way that pleases you, at peace with ourselves, and a blessing to those around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Elder Denny, for the message. Church, please stand as we sing the song of response.
Speak, O Lord, and
Praise be to God. Please be seated.